This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We are back with another Chickies Friday, the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz here on a beautiful spring Friday afternoon at Chickies and Pete's. Ike, how you feeling?
Well, it is Friday. I'm excited about that. Looking forward to heading into another weekend of shooting in the 90s where I don't want to be, but what the hell? It's golf. I love doing it. That's what I look forward to every Saturday morning. What are you laughing at, Fritzy?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I look forward to. Other than that, coming off a tough loss last night. Listen, we didn't expect much out of that game last night. Didn't seem like the players expected much either from themselves last night. We win another series. We get ready for the Diamondbacks. Jackie Baseball, I'll let you boy.
Cold shivers went down my spine when you mentioned the Diamondbacks.
Oh.
The little PTSD with that team coming into town.
Got
Merrill Kelly on the mound tonight. Feels like Game 7 all over again.
A lot of PTSD for a lot of teams for the Phils. Seems like they're built up.
But they're different.
Mets PTSD.
No, like they're like the Bucks were in the middle 2000s. Like after the Eagles lost to the Bucks, I don't even remember that at all.
Yeah.
It was just like you had the random hatred for the Bucks for 6 or 7 years.
Right, and that's the Diamondbacks.
Still exist.
I'm still there with the Diamondbacks.
Well, that hatred for the Bucks still exists.
I feel like it's died down since we've won two.
They still kick our ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now
yeah.
I kind of.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
It might be worse now.
Well, now I kind of like the Bucks.
Yeah. Well.
Keep it moving.
Me too. All right. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games and big events. Always better at Chickies and Pete's. The official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. 3 o'clock, Elliott Shore Parks joins us. 3:30, Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast. We award the belt at 4:30. And before we get to the start of the show, I'd just like to tell you, Ike, that it took me a half an hour to get to work today, and I once again live in the area.
Oh, man. Doesn't it feel good?
Oh, I'm back in the Delaware Valley. I'm back.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All this time. What am I going to do with all this time?
No more worrying about leaving an hour and a half early.
Nope.
Oh man. Oh,
90
it's the
minutes.
Greatest. It's the greatest. It's the greatest. So, you know, it's funny about the game last night, the Phillies game. I didn't think very much about it because I was moving yesterday, but I just looked at it and said, oh, we never win this game. We can't just sweep the right. Nationals to make us feel awesome about it. We have to just walk away with winning the series.
Pain.
So Phils are 17-14 and has been a pretty so-so start to the year. Hasn't been disastrous, but it hasn't been awesome like it was last year. And coming into this year, it was pretty much World Series a bust for everybody. And we have blamed just about everything for the Philadelphia Phillies this year. We've had several conversations about the bullpen. We've then blamed Dave Dombrowski because of what he did with the bullpen. We've had several conversations about Trey Turner. We've had several conversations about the outfield. But if this were any other Philadelphia team, we probably would have been locked in sooner on the superstar who is not performing like a superstar, right? If it was the Eagles, we would be doing it with Jalen Hurts. If it was the Sixers, we'd be doing it with Embiid. And for the Phillies, we haven't really talked very much about Bryce Harper, who has started the year, pretty lackluster start to the year for Bryce. So, Jack, with you as the primary Bryce guy,
yep.
I would say, in the city of Philadelphia, how are you feeling about Bryce's lackluster start?
Well, so I think this one's been bubbling for a little bit, and it really did. Like, last night it really did, I think, come to a boiling point for me. He made the error in that inning, and for the most part, his offense is not translated over to his defense. Maybe you could blame that it hit the lip and skidded on him. I don't think that was the case. Whatever. But for the first time in his tenure, I'm legitimately disappointed in Bryce. Like, I don't think the 230-some average, I feel pretty confident that he's not going to be hitting 230 in July. I think he's going to heat up from that standpoint. I'm more disappointed in the mentality, in the leadership. In a week and a half ago, he's doing it's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. Well, I've been seeing a lot more back of the jersey stuff out of him. And the reality is, like, this season's going to come down to whether or not he's great, because you see the flaws with them. You see the flaws in the bullpen. You see you look on offense, and it's really him as, like, the star, and then they have a bunch of pretty good players. Like, he has to be the star. And I just think that he's not playing well, and he's letting it kind of drain the rest of the team. And that's the kind of stuff that can't happen. And I know he's had these kind of things in the past where he gets mopey for a couple weeks, and then he heats up and everything's fine. I just think that right now, and for this team to reach its apex, he has to be better from that standpoint. And that's why I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that coming over to the field, or taking it out on the field, he looks lethargic at the plate, looks disinterested. And that kind of thing can just trickle down to everyone else, and they're like, Bryce is out of it. Like, we need to walk on eggshells around that guy. And that's been the most disappointing part for me. I think the hitting is eventually going to get there, but it can't just be when things are going well, then you're a great leader. That's not what great leadership is. And that's what I feel like is currently happening. And I just think it's time at age 31 now, where heading into the year, it felt like at the beginning where he was taking this thing by the stones and saying, it's on me. And I feel like that's been lost on May 2nd. So that's been my disappointment so far with Bryce.
So, I'm a little confused. So are you disappointed in his production, the fact that he's not producing? Or you say leadership. I'm just wondering. I don't see the questionable leadership. That's the one thing that I'll push back against. I don't see the questionable leadership. He obviously could be doing better at the plate, whatever those struggles are and why they're there. He knows better than most of us do. He usually figures it out and finds his way out of these things. Mm-hmm. But he's the type of guy that, listen, he's either, when he's struggling, he's either going to be trying too hard, right, where he's when he does get a hit, he's taking an extra base he shouldn't be taking, or he's doing something to that where he's overly aggressive, trying to make something happen. Or he's going to have these moments where we call it, well, Coach Saban used to call it the poor me's.
And that's more what I'm talking about, is the poor me's. Like, because we got on bone for that for the first month.
Okay.
And it's like he's doing the same thing, but he's the star. And that's where my frustration comes in. I think batting wise, he's probably going to heat up. And okay. when he heats up, I think he's going to have more energy.
Okay.
But I feel like he's sapping the energy from the team, and they're feeding off of that. And that's what I'm talking about leadership wise. And everyone talks about like around the clubhouse. It's just he's giving off an odd vibe. And it's probably because he's not playing well. But it can't just be when you're playing well that everything's fine.
215-592-9494. Are you frustrated with Bryce Harper? I think I have a perspective that is maybe slightly off of yours, Jack, and it is that this is just sort of, I could yell and scream about the leadership thing. I don't disagree with you. But when you're 31 years old, it just sort of is who he is. I mean, I brought up last year, why isn't he more of a vocal leader when things were going wrong? And all you said to me was, that's not really how he does it. So like, when you get to this age, and by the way, I know you said you're confident he's going to hit.
Well, he's not going to finish 230 something.
He probably won't finish 230, but there is a point in everybody's career when you're 13, 14 years into your career and you've had injury after injury after injury, and you just are not as productive as you used to be. And I just think that from a leadership standpoint, asking him to be, I would love it if he is everything that you would want him to be. He's never been it. And I think I'm not putting him in the same category as Embiid. But to think that after 10 years, Joel Embiid is going to show up one year, all of a sudden be a different guy mentally than he was every other year of his career, it's not going to happen. It's crazy. Everybody said I was crazy, and I look back on it, and I feel crazy looking at it. You know, like, Bryce has never been that guy. This mopey thing you've seen every year he's been here,
mm-hmm.
right? So I
guess... But if nothing's going to change in the team, like, I need him to be the one that's going to change. And I understand yeah. that. But at the same time, like, Jalen changed last year. I mean, the team came to him, right, and said...
Did he?
What do you mean by he changed?
Well, I think he was more... We acknowledged in 23 that he looked like he wasn't having too much fun playing the game, and maybe it looked right. like people had to walk on eggshells around him. Mm-hmm. At least last year, he put it on a different face, and I think that we saw a decent change.
But he's also 25.
Sure, but he's an old soul. I hear you, but you also can change. I mean, you can. I've changed since when I'm 27 to when I'm 31 now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
People. Yeah, listen, I honestly believe, I think Bryce, once he starts hitting the ball, everything else will fall into place. That's just how it goes. You know, these athletes, man, I'll defend him the same way I did with Bohm, even though Bohm had much more of a mopey sort of disposition than Bryce has, and nor has he accomplished as much as Bryce has. So he doesn't get the same amount of rope that Bryce Harper should be afforded here. And athletes, what do you want him to do? Jump around with joy? You know, McNabb got killed for smiling on the sideline when things weren't going well. He got killed.
Didn't right? like that either.
Exactly. So if the guy is frustrated and he has a little bit of a sourpuss on his face because he's not playing well, I don't know. I don't understand how you want him to react to this. What do you want him to do? Be happy? You want him telling jokes in the damn clubhouse? What do you want him to do?
It's not happy, but it's just I feel like everyone knows when Bryce is struggling, and it makes
yes.
it look like they have no energy out there, and it looks like they can't get it going. That's where my frustration comes in. Like, obviously I don't want him to be like, haha, everything's...
Well, baseball is such an individual sport. I don't need to tell you this, but it is.
It's such a bunch of me guys.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you're sometimes in your own little phone booth. As far as your day-to-day goings, you can't allow what somebody else is doing to impact how you go up there at the plate and hit, how you field out there in the field. Like, you can't allow that to affect you. In other words, these other guys can't allow what's going on with Bryce Harper to impact them the same way they couldn't allow Alec Bohm and his poutiness to impact them.
I just think it's different when it's Bryce.
Well, you know what the biggest problem is?
Yeah.
Is that we talk about the thermostat versus thermometer mm-hmm. or whatever.
Bryce
is
my quarterback. Says.
Well, but Bryce is a thermometer, and the team doesn't have a thermostat. There is not a player in there who sets the tone for everybody else, and that is what makes.
I think Schwarber does.
Well,
I think he does too. But I think his leadership style is more you're a good player, you're going to be all right, rather than getting on guys. I mean, LA always talks about Dutch, right? Like yeah. Dutch would get on someone if they do something wrong. I don't think that's this team's DNA.
Yeah, I know. It's not the team's DNA. It's not the manager's DNA, and everybody's okay with it.
Well,
everybody's okay when Rob Thompson doesn't yell because it's not who he is. Well, it's not who Bryce is either. Bryce has never gotten on anyone. I still want to smack Jonathan Papelbon for that nonsense he did in Washington to Bryce. Right?
Like, Papelbon's on your bleep list. He's been on your bleep list for a while.
Yeah, he's a handful of guys on
that
list.
Not many.
But he's on that list.
I kind of wish we were on the air for that because I would have liked Papelbon.
Why?
He was great.
You mean?
He told it like it was. He's the best closer in Philly's history.
Most saves in Philly.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad you weren't on air during that time. Just taking that side of things with some of the things he said back then. Yeah, I don't know if that would have been great.
All right, 215-592-9494. Are you frustrated with Bryce Harper's start to the season, both on the field and off it? Our leadoff hitter, guess is going, Corey in Columbus. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's up, man? Spike, glad to have you back, baby. You missed a good day yesterday.
Yeah, well, look. It wasn't as good a day as it would have been if I was here, but from what I hear, everything went all right.
Yeah, man. So my thing with Bryce Harper, it's like a tough situation because when you look at a guy like Bryce Harper, he got drafted in 2010. I know he didn't go to make his first major league to 2012 or whatever, but it's like he's been a pro for 14, 15 years. And when you're a guy like that, it's kind of hard to teach teach an old dog new
old
tricks.
Old dog like, I new know, tricks, guy. That
right.
One.
I mean, it's kind of like we kind of dabbled in the conversation yesterday, but it's kind of like with the Luka situation. People want Luka to be like this and LeBron James in shape type of guy when he's been a pro for 15 years. This is just who he is. Like, we can't expect people to change when they get later in their career. Now, Bryce Harper, like Ike talked about, it's an individual sport. So it's kind of different when a guy like Jalen, who's the leader of the team, we're looking to you to take us there. But a guy like Bryce Harper, he's not playing well, and he knows this team, if this team is going to be a championship contender, I don't care what Schwarber does, I don't care what Castellanos, Bohm, if this dude isn't hitting the ball and playing well, we might as well pack it up because they're not winning anything if it wasn't for him. So he's carrying that pressure every day. So I understand why he's upset. Now, is that okay to mope and stuff in the clubhouse? I'm not saying that. But I get where he's coming from. This city is riding on him. When you're that guy, you know what I'm saying? When you're Joel Embiid, as you said, Jalen Hurts, Bryce Harper, they were relying on you. So that's a lot more pressure than a guy like Schwarber that just got to hit the ball and ain't nobody going to put pressure on you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's where it's disappointing because when you see the poor me's, it's like, come on, man. I mean, and I know he's done this in the past, and maybe it's hypersensitized because they're off to an okay start and there's a different feeling around the team than has been there the last couple of years. And I totally acknowledge that. But you just don't want to see it.
The only thing that I can ask, and maybe I don't know, Jack, you would know better than me. Maybe he's trying to, preserve himself because he has such a violent swing in the way he hits the ball. And, he's dealt with the injuries in his career. And if he knows if he plays like that early in the season and, hit for power and all that, it may – make him deal with injuries. I'm just asking. Maybe that. And he's like, I can't do that. I can't turn it on as early in the season as I've had in the past when I was 25, 26, 27 years old.
Yeah.
You know what
maybe.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hope so.
That's possible. Thank you for the call, Corey.
My biggest fear is the Tiger Woods thing.
Just that he's cooked.
It's just, no, he's not cooked. No. It's just like that it's, that it's a violent swing. And then,
he's physically cooked.
Physically on the down, the way you say that makes me want to. Well, jump. I want to go drive in my car and go ram into a building.
But I'm not trying to.
Well,
do
you
that.
Didn't want to hear when Elliot said Embiid was cooked.
I know. But looking back on it, he was right. You know, I'm not. I don't mean it negatively. I'm not trying to be trolly with Bryce.
No. He's cooked. Is not
super
a
positive.
Thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's saying someone cooked the positive thing.
By the way, somebody reminded me on Twitter. He'll be 33 in October. He's not 31.
Yeah, we got
he's
the same
32.
Birthday. Yes.
Yeah, going to 33. So that's not. He's just been in the league a long time.
I know.
And,
yeah.
And you know, the other thing that could be affecting him from a mental standpoint is not being able to do the same things physically that he did before.
Sure.
And
well, that's why he's looking at the curveballs over and over again. It's the highest it's ever been in his
entire... realization of his new somebody who was, by the way, so physically gifted for so much of his career, moving into a part of his career where he can't make up for his inadequacies with his physical gifts quite as much.
So he goes from being what to what?
So, I mean, I guess from that standpoint, he goes from being a 30 to 35 home run guy, hopefully, hitting 280 to 270 and 25 home runs. I mean,
you're going...
Well, he should still be able to hit 280.
Okay, well, either way. I'm talking more power-wise. I think power-wise...
So that's what we're thinking. So that's what I'm thinking about here with his whole decline. We're talking about it from a power standpoint?
I think it's from an everything standpoint in that I think you're going from... Maybe this will be. I think he's going from being somebody who is in the conversation for a top 10 player in baseball to a guy who's maybe a top 30 player in baseball.
That's understandable at 33 years old.
It's understandable, but it's a realization that everybody has to come to, that we're watching at a guy. We got him in his prime.
Yeah.
But we didn't get him in his pre-prime. So all we're getting is prime and post-prime, right?
No, I agree.
So, yeah.
I agree. I mean, listen, the guy can only he's not using any performance enhancers, so he can't do what some of those other guys did at 33, 34, 35 years old.
Like LeBron.
Yeah, even Barry Bonds.
Oh, right.
For that matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he can't do that. And so what that means is when you're looking at the overall team, you need to increase the talent around him because maybe he can no longer carry a lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, that may be the reality of the situation.
Sure.
215-592-9494. Are you frustrated with Bryce Harper? Shy in Cherry Hill, you're on WIP. What's up, Shy?
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
You making your big trip back to Westchester?
Oh, yeah.
I literally just drove past the Philly Stadium.
Oh, you should have stopped by.
I don't know. I'm start with this. First of all, I don't think hating the Diamondbacks makes any sense. They outplayed us. It was a managerial, disaster class.
No, it's not hate. Really, they're going to be in my head for a long time.
Yeah, you can have a bad taste in your mouth.
Exactly, that's more what I mean.
The fact that we lost. Don't hate the team.
Oh, I'm more mad at the Phillies, believe me.
Yeah, regarding Bryce Harper, this is my number one problem. Listen, you're going to go in slumps. There's nothing you can do about it. That's baseball. We're not talking about Joe DiMaggio here. He's not going on a hitting streak for however many games. My number one issue, though, is you can't be a leader when things are going good, and then all of a sudden you don't want to talk to the media about a bunt, and you don't want to answer that question from Devin or whoever asked. That's my number one issue. You can't just be a leader when you want to be a leader. You got to be a leader all the time. And this team doesn't have somebody who is going to get in a guy's face, apprehend them about something, and then give him a slap on the ass and be like, yo, you got it next time, blah, 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 blah. When he's down, you see that the whole entire team is down. And like you said, there's something going on in the clubhouse, obviously.
Well, that's been the thought all year where everyone's talking about how the vibe's off, right? I mean, that's been one of the things that people say about them.
It just feels like they're cracking under pressure what it feels like.
It's their best start since 06, Mike.
It feels like they have no identity whatsoever.
No, it's not. This year's record is not better than last year.
I think yesterday was their best.
No, they were 19-10 after 29 games last year. Yeah, I'm telling you, they were. I know for a fact. Yeah, it is. It might have been their best start 10 games ago. It's not their best start now. Sorry.
There's just a lack of identity, I feel like, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Shy. It's a lack of – I think they knew what their identity was. I don't think they know what their identity is. Because they tried to make their identity, we're just here, you know, this is business. We're here to win, and that's not – the kind of guys they are, and I, you know, from a vibe standpoint, but yeah, I go back and forth, Jack, to agreeing with you on how Bryce should be, but then the reality of how he's always been.
And I hear that. I would like that to change.
Yeah,
we're not a poor me's show. If there's, I mean, it's not what we do.
No, absolutely never.
There's other shows in this station.
Yep.
lot of poor me's.
A lot of poor me.
Not this one.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Are you frustrated with Bryce Harper, both on and off the field? Coming up at 3, Elliott Shore Parks joins us with a report from Eagles rookie camp.
Oh, man, we're back.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Baseball is back. You can watch all the actions at Chickies and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at Chickies and Pete's.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
.com.
I guess I'm the Hakuna Matata guy today. Not worried. Not yet.
It means don't worry for the rest of your days. I forgot the rest of the words.
It's their problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. It's not a very long song, but it's a good one.
I've done better. That's all I ask for, progress.
Yeah, every we're just trying to get better every single
every day. We're just trying to get better.
That's 1% better every day. 215-592-9494. Where are you at on Bryce Harper here? It is our Twitter question as we wonder where everyone comes down on the Phillies first baseman who clearly has not played up to his standard so far this season. And you said it earlier, he's right, it's fallen under the radar, but it's obvious now. I mean, we're over a month in. I mean, it's May 2nd. What do we call it today? Dose something?
Cinco de dos.
Cinco de dos. 5-2. Or,
it's a new midday show holiday.
Cinco de dos.
Tell Rod next year we're not coming in. New holiday. It's Cinco de dos. It's what? It's 5-2. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Which best describes how you're feeling about Bryce Harper right now? We rarely see a split like this between a few options. Frustrated, 33%. That's Hugh Douglas. Concerned, 36%. That's Kyle. Not worried, that's me, 31%. Look, I am leaning more. If I had to pick one of the first two options, I'd say more frustrated than concerned. But I'm not worried about his play. The body language stuff does bother me. I'm with you guys on that. He needs to be better. He needs to start tonight. Where do you come down? Before we go back to the phone lines on this, and of course, Tri-Day for cocktails, let's hear from some people around the team a lot about Bryce Harper. Let's start with Devin, who covers the team here for us, covers the Phillies for WIP. What she's observed with Bryce around the team lately.
Honestly, Bryce Harper is the most concerning to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't think it's anything, you know, health-wise or physically, but he...
It could be, though. I mean, the back, the whole thing,
Yeah, I mean, he briefly spoke to us two days ago, and, like, it was just a very stilted, dry, like, he did not seem to want to give anything away in terms of, you know, information, personality, how he was feeling, just like 2-3 word answers. And that concerns me. I understand people don't like the media is not their best friend, but the fact that he wasn't even willing to divulge, like, what made you bunt in that game.
Totally.
Hugh, that caught your attention early in the show. You know, Devin's story about kind of just short answers, his demeanor when asked questions.
Yeah, because if she notices it, guess who else notices it?
His teammates.
Yeah, and that's the thing that you have to guard against. And you have to, like the kids say, you got to keep the same energy, man. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's going bad, I was always told, and it went bad when I was in New York, you always got to be front and center. And you always have to ask or answer the tough questions. You can't run away from it because people see that and they draw conclusions from that. And the biggest conclusion that you draw from it, whether it's right or wrong, oh, well, he's a front runner. Because that's the first thing I thought about. Like, you look at that pitching performance that Taiwan Walker gave us last night. That's good enough to win.
Absolutely.
That's good enough to win. And, you know, you don't want to just point out the error that he had at first base, anything like that. But your bat has been eerily quiet. And then you couple all of that with the fact that when you're asked questions, you're short, you're upset, like you're angry. We get it. It's tough. I mean, I've been there. Like I said, I played New York for 3 years. It's tough to sit there and have to answer questions when you don't have the answers or you try to explain something to somebody who doesn't have the bandwidth that you have to understand what we're going through. Like, that's why I commend Scott for breaking it down the way that he did, because I'm a fan. I like the Phillies. But there's a lot that goes on that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. But still, at the end of the day, as fans, we don't have all of the information that you have. So we only draw our conclusions from what you show us.
Right.
And when you show us that, that's not a good look, especially when it's going bad. So you have to sit there and you have to be that man that stands front and center, even when it's bad.
You know, I might change my take. I wasn't worried until Hugh compared the situation to your Jets teams. I mean, you guys could barely win a football game.
No, but it's one of those things where you sit there and you say, well, you guys can't score or you can't stop anybody. I'm like, yeah.
You couldn't.
You know, it couldn't stop. Couldn't, like what they say, the defense was a sieve. Hmm. And it's like, yeah, you know, but you got to keep fighting. You got to keep. I mean, and I know it's the cookie cutter answer that you give. But it's better than being short and letting people interpret that something's wrong. Mm. You know what I mean? Because that's what – Devin's doing her job, and she does a great job. Though she's from Delco, and she might, you know, be affiliated with the Delco pooper. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway. But, no, she's doing her job. So her job is to go into the locker room and assess the situation the best that she possibly can with the information that's given to her. So when she sees that in his demeanor – what is she supposed to do? I mean, that's every fan that watches baseball.
Of course.
So what is she supposed to do? So it's you can't do that because it leaves us to recklessly speculate about what's going on.
Absolutely. I'm sorry if I'm distracted.
You're fine. You're looking up them stats.
I pulled up the 96 Jets. Oh my God, you guys were bad. 1-15. You allowed 28.4 points per game.
Yeah, it was bad.
Shockingly, it was Rich Kotite's last run as head coach.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
Oh my Lord. 1-15. You're over under for the season. Win total was 6. You were under by 5 games.
Yeah, it was.
You guys got rocked every single week.
Oh no, it was bad, man. And can you imagine that year? That was my second year. It was tough, but the only saving grace was that nobody cared. The only people cared was on Monday. Like, being in Hofstra, like, there were so many other things going on in New York. Nobody cared. So it was like, hey, except when you went out and you tried to go somewhere, you play for the Jets. Who are you again? Like, nobody knew.
You're on that team?
You play for the Jets.
You guys suck.
They don't know who he is.
The most famous Jet that I can remember at that time was Fireman Ed. Like, seriously.
That's sad.
Like, jokes aside. Think about that.
You know,
like,
I interviewed Fireman Ed once?
You did?
Yeah. He's very arrogant.
I believe it because, yeah, like
was.
I said,
very arrogant.
He's the most famous Jet.
So when I first started doing radio when I was young, I was on a station that had the rights to the Jets. It was a small station, but somehow they're like, you want Fireman Ed as a guest? And I didn't really, but like I just said, oh, sure. I didn't really want to talk to him. But I said, sure.
Dump Fireman Ed on you.
And he was very arrogant about like how important he was. I'm like, you're just a fan.
What a dork.
He was totally.
The 1-15 season probably helped him with that, you know, the forming of his arrogance.
His ego, yeah.
Yeah, because
he was the most famous
Jet. TV. He had more highlights than we had.
That was your fault. You were part of that.
It was my fault.
Well, you didn't help.
I was trying.
You didn't try hard enough. You guys gave 484 points. All right, 215-592-9494. Also, Bryce, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with the swing. Listen to this, because Bryce usually has got that swing down, and he feels good about himself. Obviously does it, considering he'll take advice from anyone in a Phillies uniform. Here's Taryn Hatcher, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the other night during the game, explaining Bryce and what he was doing pregame.
There was a lot of work done yesterday and coming into today to try to fix certain things with Bryce's spring, namely his timing. I was talking to Kevin Long ahead of today's game. He said, look, yesterday he had an exit velo of 98, 102, and 105 on 3 balls that were fielded out last night. He got his hit on a bunt, which is a good sign for things to come because his timing's not there. Everything's too quick. When he's moving too quick, when his motions are too quick, he's not seeing the ball as well. He's expanding his strike zone. He's very communicative with the hitting staff about what he's feeling and seeing in his swing. So they actually went through a circuit today where all of the hitting staff got to pick a drill and Bryce got to pick a drill, and they went through each drill. Each one was focused on timing. It was a different drill meant to slow Bryce down.
Yeah, he's clearly not feeling right at the plate right now. The numbers reflected. Big error last night. Where do you come down on Bryce? 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man? What's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, hey. Terrence. What's up, buddy? What are you feeling?
I told Kyle, first of all, I want to say, man, that guy I had on the other day, that doctor guy, that guy is hilarious, man. I was laughing like I was in my work truck and I was laughing for like 10 minutes.
Well, I'm tired of Dr. Karp, so I'm hoping Kyle doesn't take those calls anymore.
I don't know where you found this guy at, but oh my gosh, it was hilarious.
He's useful.
Yeah, he's probably Delco considering what's going on down there. Go ahead, Terrence.
All right, man. I'm worried about Bryce. I feel like if you want to explain Bryce Harper, the end of last year and this year, it's average or below average. And to me, man, I hope it's not about the contract. I hope it's not none of that. But if you think about this, man, the decline of the Phillies has all been on Bryce Harper's watch. And you can say he's the captain of the team. He's the GM of the team, whatever you want to call it. But he's the centerpiece of this team, and the team goes as Bryce Harper goes. So if this guy's in a slump, he he's the leader. Like, Schwarber shouldn't be alone at the top of home runs and all this stuff. Bryce Harper, last time I recall, this guy was a slugger. I know he had a couple of injuries and all that. But if you ask me, man, like from Washington, maybe Bryce Harper was just a star and not a superstar coming from Washington, and that's why Washington traded him, because the Phillies, if you think about it, they are what they are. And if this guy's not going to be able to hit curveballs, the book is out on these guys. If the whole team, when it comes to playoff time, the pitchers already got the book on these guys, and they know what they're going to swing at and what they can hit and what they're going to do. And to me, that's concerning, because if Bryce Harper is slumping right now, and if we get to late May and into June, that's going to be concerning, because who else is going to step up? Baum ain't stepping up. Stott is okay. Like, the rest of this lineup is like hitting-wise and bringing in runs, they're average, and it's not going to cut it in baseball. And we know that. And like I said before, the Mets ain't going nowhere.
Mm-mm.
So to me, I don't know, Bryce Harper, the pandering stuff, I know that's all out the window. But Bryce Harper, sometimes you have to look in the mirror, and you got 6 years left on your deal, man. You shouldn't be worried about no money right now, bro. Like, that, to me, that's giving greedy at this point. And you haven't done nothing to earn that contract.
Well, not enough, and certainly not so far this year, Terrence. I mean, his play, considering what he usually does, is so far below what we're usually expecting here. Terrence, what do you got for us for a cocktail we should try?
Oh, man, I had this drink before, and it's to me, it's like, it's right up, he was, Ollie, it's the, I don't know if you guys had it before, the Gold Rush.
The Gold Rush?
Gold Schlager?
What is it?
No, it's Gold Rush. It's 2 ounces of bourbon, 3/4 ounces of lemon juice, freshly squeezed, 3/4 ounces of honey syrup on the rocks, and a twist of lemon.
So the lemon and the honey syrup with the bourbon. What do you think of that, Hugh?
It sounds pretty decent.
I like that one. Terrence, good phone call. People are trying to appeal to you with the bourbon. We got a lot of bourbon.
Yeah, they're trying to do
so
the bourbon thing. Yeah, but they know, like, I'm a... The drink Ken had is interesting.
The
I
one,
will say
one
that
you with freeze the bananas it up and, with
yeah,
the bananas.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not so much watering the drink down, you know, when you're doing
right.
all the freezing
stuff. It's enhancing
stuff.
It
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, it's more of a flavor enhancer.
Yeah.
The other ones, all I feel like when you talk about that is the longer that drink sits there, the more the ice, you know, violates the bourbon.
Is that the word?
Yeah, that's the word I want to use.
I know, you used it. I never heard that about
yeah,
ice
I wanna,
before.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's watering the drink now.
It's cutting it. It's cutting it.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Well, I get it. You don't want to cut the good part
bourbon
of it.
Bourbon is not cheap, dog. And for me, to add ice is to take away from the strength. Well, I mean, obviously.
You got to drink it quickly. That way you don't worry about it. Or you just have multiple drinks. I mean, you can do it either way. All right, let's go to Rob in Delco. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you.
What's going on, man?
Rob, what's up?
Listen, I got a drink for you at the end, but I keep mine real simple. Listen, do you think the Delco Pooper, you think she had a clean break, you? You know what I mean? That's what I hope.
She did
you,
not
you know
have a
mean?
Clean break.
I don't know.
She did not have a clean
what
break.
What if she's single, Hugh? Maybe I can look into that.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I was wondering, like, well, how does your family, how does your family feel about that?
If you bring her around or, like?
Well, no, the fact, like, I'm talking about, I'm assuming now. She got kids, a husband.
I don't know.
She said mid-40s. It looked like mid-40s from what they said.
How would you feel if it was part of your family? You'd be embarrassed.
No. Well, I'd be like, if it was, okay, for instance, like, I'm sorry, Rob, we're here.
That's all right, man. That's all
if
right,
it was
man.
Harper's mom,
yeah,
I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's what you say to anyone.
What's wrong with you? She'd be like, what is really wrong with you? And when she decided to explain it, I'd be like, dog, you probably need to go talk to somebody.
Yeah, no, you can't. There's a lot of things you could explain away. The Delco pooper, you can't. I mean, that's just, like, if you swung on someone, I could easily forgive that. Like, you had a bad moment, you got violent, you shouldn't have. But we can't be doing this.
It's about 5 or 10 minutes from me, too, Joe.
Rob, you better be careful. You might run into that lady. Don't you get yourself in trouble?
Listen, I got the car wash thing, so I get my unlimited wash.
The person with that car that better needed an unlimited wash. Go ahead, Rob.
Listen, I kind of got a radical thing before I get to my drink with the Phils. Now, just hear me out, okay? I don't mean to be jumping the gun here, but I'm looking short-term and long-term, always at the same time, okay?
You like Howie Roseman. Yeah.
Just like Howie, exactly. You've read my mind. See, there you go. We're starting to see the decline of Bryce Harper, okay?
Ooh.
First point is, thank goodness we didn't give in to his kidnap demands of wanting a new contract, okay? I love him. You know what I mean? Joe, doesn't mean I love him any less. Just no way in hell I'm giving him whatever he wanted. A 2-3-year extension, 4-year extension. Whatever he wanted in his late 30s, going into 40, early 40s, come on. I mean, you've shown this since the All-Star break, the numbers, right? I mean, you don't need to rehash them. We've seen what those numbers are. And listen, I'm not going to get him on him for the one error last night, even though it was a big error. It happened. You know what I mean? Also, he's been a great defensive first baseman. He's made that adjustment seamlessly, you know? So I'm not going to get on him for that. But would you consider, Hugh, okay, give me a percentage before I get to my drink, okay? Well, Joe, Dylan Harper, at the end of this year, offseason, if it really starts to go bad and we get rid of Boehm and Marsh and Castellanos and we don't re-sign Schwarber, would you consider starting to blow this thing up?
So, yeah. I mean, I'm just – I'll answer it simply. Yes, I would. Now, there's different levels to blowing it up. Like, Boehm, you know, I'll trade him for peanuts tomorrow. Right. Get him out of here. But, when you get to Wheeler, you get to Harper, I mean, these – because then it changes your chances to win in even the next 3 or 4 years. Like, it'd be a full-blown, no-questions-asked rebuild. I mean, I hope we don't get there. But, Rob, if they have a season where they miss the playoffs, they're going to have to go one or two ways. They're going to have to buy their way out of it this offseason and go get a Kyle Tucker, or they're going to have to change the whole thing up, and maybe that's a rebuild.
To me, it's like that, Hugh. It's 50-50. Either you try to reload again next year or you blow it up.
Yeah, you got to be all in or all out. Yeah, because they've tried this baloney of not doing anything and just running it back, and it looks like it looks like a watered-down version of the last couple of years.
It's not bad. It's not going off the rails yet.
No, it's not bad, but it's not great.
It's not great.
All right, Rob, what's your cocktail?
All right, well, thank goodness. At least the Delco Pooper, she had this drink in her system. Who knows what would have happened? I'm going to go back to my child, because we're around the same age, you. I'm in my early 50s. Mad Dog. Just get a bottle of Mad Dog from the liquor store and sit in the backyard
what
and
flavor,
have a bottle
though?
Of Mad Dog. Great.
What flavor?
Ugh. Grape cherry.
I bring back bad grape memories.
Classy. I like it, Rob. Appreciate the phone call.
I bring back bad memories.
When's the last time you had Mad Dog?
I remember it was a long time ago. I was in high school. And I remember we were going to a party, and the party got canceled. Mm-hmm. So I had to go home drunk. Boy, that dog did not hunt. Mm-mm. Big Hugh had a fit. But I do, this is back when ass whoopers were a thing.
Yep.
I'm glad I had that Mad Dog in my system. Because I didn't feel most of it.
Yeah, it cut it down a little bit.
I'm just saying, that's back, you know, all I remember is like, he was like, oh, no, he didn't come in my house drunk. Like, I was like, that was the one time, it was the last time I had a drink.
Yeah.
But I was glad that I had the Mad Dog in my system.
So that wasn't a Vaseline day?
Because that ass whooping, boy, that thing right there. Like, a lot of these kids don't know what an ass whooping is.
No, times have changed.
Ooh, boy, that one right there was one to remember. That was one for the books, the record books.
Well, I mean, it's 2025. You're talking about it on your radio show, so that lived with you.
No, that's when you said it. When you said Mad Dog, that's why I immediately went
what
back to that
What was your
moment.
Flavor of choice?
I think it was the grape? It was nasty. No, it was the orange.
So I was a blue raspberry when I had it.
Yeah, it was, but when you, it's funny because when you get older and you finally realize, like you look back on some of the things you did, Mad Dog was the absolute worst.
Oh, yeah, it was
that,
terrible.
Thunderbird, and it was another one that people used to drink, but I remember we used to call it Thunder Chicken, but it was a Thunderbird. Yeah, that was the bad drinks, man. bad drinking.
What was the one? I haven't had it since college. The Colt
45. Boone's Farm? Remember Boone's Farm?
The Colt 45 I'm talking
Colt
40, about.
Yeah, Colt 45.
The malt liquor.
I went to an event one night recently, like about a year ago. They had Old English.
Old English?
In a can. And I got one for nostalgia purposes.
How was that?
It was okay. I mean, it's like every now and then, man, you just have what you go back down memory lane.
But yeah.
The Mad Dog, no, I'm not. I'm not trying to.
If you guys wondering what Hugh's doing on Cinco de Mayo weekend, a little Old English this weekend for Hugh. All right, 215-592-9494. This hour on 94 WIP's fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. All right, we're going to get everyone's calls up here in the 1 o'clock hour. I'm Bryce Harper. Are you concerned, frustrated, not worried? Where do you come down on Bryce? He is not playing well at all to start this season so far. Plus, we'll hear from the aforementioned Delco Pooper and another arrest that became public knowledge last night. So a lot to discuss. 215-592-9494. But the only place you can hear from the Delco Pooper right here next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Summer is better with True Green, especially at a price this low for a limited time. Get 75% off your first treatment and enjoy your lawn without overspending. With True Green, you get expert care and a plan tailored to fit your lawn's needs so it looks its best. While you save big, let the pros handle the hard work while you enjoy the results, relax more, and keep money in your pocket. A great lawn has never been this easy or this affordable. Sign up now at truegreen.com. Restrictions apply.
That's right. Everything's going to be all right, guys. Just chill out a little bit, all right? Great, great song. Three Birds. Dan Wilson back in the studio. It is the WIP Morning Show. From Borgata, John Ritchie, James Seltzer, and for Joe DeCamera, we got Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney hanging out. Little Bob Marley on a Friday morning. That I'm good with Bob Marley on a Friday morning.
I love
morning.
Bob Marley, yeah. Especially on a Friday.
Exactly. Exactly. What famous Philly used Bob Marley as his walk-up
Shane, song? Didn't he?
Shane Victorino, a little Buffalo soldier.
I like that.
There might have been others, too, but I was thinking of
Shane. I only got sick of Bob Marley one time when, in college, a bunch of us drove out to Notre Dame to take in my first football game. Like hour, like eight. I was like, all right.
Okay, I can get that.
We can kind of move on.
Yeah, maybe play some other music.
I think some people were stoned. Just kept replaying it. I'm like, no, hey. No more.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob and that go well together, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
All right, 215-592-9494. We got one more hour to go. A reminder, Jeffrey Lurie, for the first time in 30 years, is going to be on WIP on Monday at 9:15. He will join this show for Brandon Graham Day, of course, May 5th. Monday, we will be honoring Brandon Graham for Brandon Graham Day, and we have exciting news. BG Live at the Colonial Theater had been sold out, but the Colonial Theater has released a limited number of tickets for BG Live on 5-5. So if you wanted to go, sold out, couldn't get tickets, this is your chance. Get it now. It's going to be awesome. Brandon Graham on stage talking about his career, talking about inside stories, all kinds of stuff that you can never see or get anywhere else. It is a once in a lifetime type of situation for that. So don't miss your chance to take part in this incredible night for one of our favorite Eagles of all time to honor him. Get your tickets at 94WIP.com. And then Monday on the show, Jason Kelce will be on the show on Monday. Brandon Graham on his day. And again, Jeffrey Lurie for the first time in 30 years on WIP calling in to honor the great Brandon Graham. That is going to be something to hear. Make sure you're listening right around this time on Monday to hear all that awesomeness. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phones for the final hour of the show. And I see our guy, Drew, in Westchester.
Drew
hasn't called as much, but fatherhood has taken him out of the calling game a little bit. But you're still there, buddy. How you been? How's Noah? How you doing, pal?
Morning show host, Seltzer. How we doing, folks? TJ Hishmandzadeh, how you doing?
Yes! We don't get that enough, Dan. If you go to the morning
team,
Dan, the morning page, it's in red in the right hand top corner, like the morning news page where we put the drops. Give me a little TJ Hishmandzadeh.
That was TJ Hishmandzadeh.
Oh, man.
So good.
Wow. Oh, man.
So good.
There
That's
it is.
Horrendous.
I know. It's
so horrendous.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It's really good. It's so bad. It's good.
It's so good.
Devin, I'm just going to give you a pro tip from now on.
If I ever question if I can pronounce a name, I just don't use it.
That is great.
I have. It took me a while to be able to.
Lesson learned.
Yes.
I'll say that.
To say Giannis's last name, and I just used to call him Giannis.
Yeah.
And Tua.
Yeah.
I tripped over Tunga Vailoa so many times, I finally stopped saying it. I'm like, everybody knows who Tua is.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Good to talk to you folks. Yeah, Noah's great. I'm hoping to be back to call in more regularly, maybe in the around July or so in the summer. Likewise, but yeah, Phil's look.
Are you walking yet? Like, are you following the walker? How old are we talking?
What's it, like 6 months now, a little less.
Yeah, he's 6 months. So that's
okay. So he's not
walker.
Look
he's
at your
not
boy
walking
right here. All right, come on,
Jimmy, nailing the age. That is pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
so Drew, that is exciting, but it's not even hard yet. You know, like
they're not
it
moving.
Will get hard around 10 months.
To John's
when they
point,
walk,
yeah. Well, it's the walks. Window. It's 10 months. Till you can leave them by themselves. So it's like 2.5, yeah. 3, whatever it is, yeah. Where they can sit in a room by themselves
you
for like
go to the bathroom.
Exactly, go to the bathroom.
Where you don't have to follow them every time they go up the steps. Every time they go down the steps.
True. Look, it's all wonderful and it's the best thing in life.
Oh, the first day they walk is super exciting, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I'm
but
so
screwed. There is about a year in there where you will have to follow your child or bring your child everywhere you go, yeah. And you will feel it.
Yeah, sure. I'll just say one step at a time. I'm happy to have them sleep in through the night at the
that's
at
great
the, at the moment. Yeah, with the Phils, I think it's tough because they're gonna win a lot of games, but I just don't really see it right now. I feel like going into the season, you know, like they needed their version of like a T.O. or Saquon to like inject life into the team, and I look at what, you know, like you saw him last weekend, I look at what like a guy like Kyle Tucker's doing for the Cubs right
totally.
Now.
He's
probably going to be the NL MVP, and like I don't remember the national reporting there, but I look at what the Astros gave up, and I don't feel like a deal for him would have cost you Miller or Painter, and
it
I
might
just don't
have
know
Cam
that...
Smith is what is like the prize of the deal, and not like he's a Miller-esque prospect, you know.
He is good for sure. I just don't know where that spark is coming from, and that
I
what,
totally
like,
agree with the point.
Some
for
of the
sure.
parts just aren't adding up right now, and that's one of my big concerns.
I 100% agree with you. It just feels like something's off with this group. And again, like this is why John and I were yelling it to camera this offseason, saying like they have to do more. Like this is not good enough to just bring this group back. And John, to your point, I think it's the attitude, but I think the attitude is perpetuated by the fact that it's just the same group of guys and they're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's the same group of guys, but now they've been given an addendum. Hey, but we're going to not do the daycare thing anymore. We're going to be more serious this year. They don't know how to be. They don't know how this team is supposed to conduct itself, how it's supposed to carry itself. And I do think this team functions best when they don't have the weight of the world and this city on their shoulders, when they can go out there and just swing freely, when they can, you know, just try to put bat on ball, not think or overthink, just try to have fun and enjoy the greatness of baseball.
Yeah, they're playing a game. They're playing a
kid's
game.
You always played. That's the way we're best. We're so far away from that at times, and it's the manager's job to try to steer it back while maintaining discipline. That's the part, and that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of work. That takes following up on the, hey, Kirkring, we must discuss what, you know, mm-hmm. we must discuss this to make you better. And that means you can't miss that conversation. You can't. You must make good on the promise of actually coaching these players and trying to make them better.
Drew, you got an answer? Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, but I was going to say on Bryce, I think he'll be fine. But and he's obviously lived up to the contract. But look, if you know, God forbid the Mets somehow win the World Series this year, that's three NL East teams winning a World
Series.
Oh, my God,
Drew, why did you have to do that?
Here.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that, Drew?
Drew?
Look,
why?
They're not,
why?
They're not
why
going
even put that
the
out
World
there? As of now, it's only two, Drew.
True.
It's only two. Drew, what's your answer, brother, for a title?
I'm going to go with American Girl by Tom Petty.
Oh, it's a great answer and a great song.
That is
awesome song.
Yes,
it's a really awesome song. featured in Silence of the Lambs, among other movies.
Great. I like American Woman great. Better.
Do you really?
I like American Girl better.
I like American Girl better, too. I like the Guess Who version better than the Lenny Kravitz version of American Woman.
You know that American Woman by the Guess Who.
Yeah.
It was actually a song written in protest of America.
No, yeah, I did not know that.
American Woman.
I know
think,
they're a
British.
I know they're a British band. I guess.
Yeah,
you,
they're talking up America. No, it was a response to the
Yeah, and I will say Lenny Kravitz's cover of it is actually quite good as far as it goes. Like I think they're
ever seen
better,
Lenny play live?
I have not.
I did. It was interesting.
Oh, not great, huh? Oh, yeah. Handsome fella, though.
Oh, my God.
Handsome fella.
He is so good looking. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, and
he works out. He works out like crazy.
He works out.
He works out.
Him and Lisa Bonet and then Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz.
A beautiful family. Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like they are, sometimes it's just not right.
It might be the most beautiful family. They're running.
Jeans are strong.
Just take three people as a family and say that's about as beautiful.
Speaking of, is Joe just getting out of his like pop culture assignment this week?
Oh, good point. So I had left after that happened last week.
First, and I was off.
So how did he do on Zendaya first and foremost?
He did okay.
So.
I don't know.
He didn't. I don't understand why we're doing this so much.
Because
Joe doesn't know anything. Yeah. I don't know.
It's Joe using his job as a way to try and do something he wants to do anyway, like learn more about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And making an excuse for it. Yeah. But who was it? Blake Lively?
Blake Lively was his assignment for this week, which I guess will now be next Friday. Did you just drop your phone too?
Yeah. So inside baseball.
We're messes over here.
What?
Inside
that sounded
baseball.
Really loud
that did
also.
Sound
well,
really
cause loud. Well, because it hit the microphone, not because it's pretty good. It's because Fran just gave me a piece of paper that said, check your phone. I guess Dan Wilson has texted me.
So,
a little inside baseball here. Dan Wilson texted me, drop of the week read, which I have in my hand, as you can see right now, is about to do it. So, Dan, for you, normally at this time we do drop of the week. Drop of the week we will not do because Joe is not here, but drop of the week usually sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. That one was for you, Dan Wilson. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phone. Get back to the phones here. Let's talk to our buddy JB and Chestnut. What up, JB?
Good morning. What's up, my man?
How you been, pal? Pots and pans.
Yeah, you know. John, do you know people have a fear of long words? Is a word that's like 26 letters long?
That's
Truscadecophobia.
No way. Did you really just pull that out? Are you serious
that's
right now?
That's 100% correct.
You both are ridiculous humans. First of all,
I think it was one of John's like
what an amazing pull. Was it?
Morning.
What? I don't know, but that's an amazing pull by you. I love that the word... Like, that's hilarious. It's like the fact that the people have fear of long words are called that long word is just sometimes the English language can be hilarious. That's one of those cases.
It is.
Why are they afraid of long words?
What a weird thing to be. You're right. I went with you asking the real question that you'd be asking. Why is there anyone who has a fear of long words?
It's just a word.
Like, I guess, okay, here's a scenario potentially. Maybe you're in a spelling contest and you have a high profile miss on a long word, maybe that could create a phobia.
Perhaps.
Maybe. That's the best I can do, guys. I'm really
sounds
stretching
pretty
here.
Good.
I'm really stretching here.
I participated in spelling bees when I was younger.
I'm a very good speller. My wife is a horrendous speller.
Really?
So it works out well. Yes. Not horrendous. That's not
I
fair.
Love
that's
spelling.
Not fair. She's not a bad, like, she's not a horrible speller, but, like, I am light years better than her as a speller. So I'm not often good. Spelling things in my house.
I've told this story before. I would always ask my mom how to spell something. She'd go look it up. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how to spell it. I'm like, you know, this is from the same woman who gave my sister and I dictionaries.
Well, we were just speaking about Drew with Noah. Like, Zoe being six now, I'm right in that learning to read stage of things. That's a whole nother hurdle that you come to.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Oh, is it ever? Oh. Is it ever? But why? That doesn't make like the word. So the word thief came up yesterday. Like, how am I supposed to explain to a 6-year-old the IE thing? She's like, what do you mean that's how you spell thief? Like,
yeah, the
why?
English language
She's
is
like,
so weird.
She'll always just be like, why? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, because that's how it's spelled, man.
Has
I don't know.
Irregular stuff.
Yeah.
English has weird stuff.
Weird stuff.
Way more weird stuff than the other language.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I don't know how I learned.
Like silent P's. Yeah. Like what are we doing there? Yeah. Psychology, like that kind of word. Like why? Like how are you supposed to teach a kid? Like, all right, because we teach like spell it out, right? Psi, S. Well, I, you know, how are you supposed to say, no, actually, there's a P on the front of that. Yeah. Like, just so you know, there, it's P-S.
And then don't even, look, I feel for you, James, when the new math comes around.
Oh, so Zoe's pretty adept at math. Like, she's kind of got a brain.
No, but
for
you
math,
can't help them with it because it's
we don't know
new
it.
Math.
So is this, new math's a real thing, Richie? You've been through this too. Is new math a real thing?
What is new math?
I've heard this mentioned before, but... I don't think I'm going to let this happen. I'm just going to teach her old math.
No, I tried to, and my son said absolutely not.
Doesn't work?
No, he goes, that's not how they're teaching me it.
You feel the same way, Richie? Has this
been what do you mean that's not how they're teaching?
I'm not mathy to begin with, so it was kind of like
I
expected to be unable to.
You were like, what are you learning in English? I'm in on that.
Yeah,
I get it. That's what I'll be like. Emily's going to be the math one anyway, so I don't have to worry about that too much. But anyway, JB, how you doing? Sorry about that.
Yeah, we can get into you. Versus meters versus pounds, and you get that later.
it's the last hour of the show. We're getting a little loose right now.
So I think the Phillies have to make some sort of trade, something before the trade deadline. I think it's a long burn season. Not overly concerned. I think more importantly, going into about Jahad Campbell, that's two guys in the exact same position that are injury prone. Which I don't know if it means like we're going to see the emergence of like. Ben Van Summeren, the ex.
Well, he's a fullback now, officially.
Yeah. Ex fullback now.
So there'll be an ex linebacker turned ex fullback turned former linebacker. Right. Yeah, I got you.
Right, like a Fangio thing. Where does Fangio like take Aziz Ojulari and just like, hey, you're going to be the inside guy now?
I highly doubt that. I don't know though, John, we've got a lot of versatility with these guys. It does seem like with the draft pick stuff that the Vic and Bond, obviously the. Shining example of that, of the guys who could do different things. But do you think that like we're getting a little too far with the Vic will take it, just take him and turn him into something that he might not be?
I think he's a great coach.
Oh, like just put him as an edge rusher.
I think that we are throwing around the both with Vic Fangio and Jeff Stoutland they'll rehab them to be, a great player.
It doesn't matter.
Everyone I don't know great. If that's going to apply to, like, every single player that the Eagles have brought in, both in free agency and through the draft. Like, there's going to be some guys who just don't work out.
Whether they don't work
out.
Okay.
I think Jahad Campbell will work out for what it's worth. But I'm talking about, like, these other guys, like Green, who they brought in for the O-line. Everyone's like, well, Jeff Stoutland can, make it
better.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to work out.
I don't know.
Triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13.
Yeah.
It's not the
Triskaidekaphobia.
Yeah. So okay. That's a mistake.
That's a mistake, but still, I'm still going to give you credit for that being super impressive.
It was close.
So what is it? What's the actual word for it?
I don't know.
Hippo-monster-skippoly-phobia.
Okay, so it still works in terms of my point of it being a long word. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's 26 letters.
All right, JB, you got an answer for us?
How about when a man loves a woman?
That's a big answer. That's
really
a song
is a good one.
And
I love the double entendre.
Yeah, but the song,
the double up or whatever. You
song
call.
In the discussion for one of the great songs of all time.
Absolutely,
I'd say, certainly in the top 10, 20, whatever you want to say. Like, I have a list of the 50 greatest songs of all time that is my top 10. But I think that would be in there. I think When a Man Loves a Woman, absolutely in the discussion.
Percy Sledge.
Yeah, what a song, and obviously I've recreated many times since. Go to Chuck and Cherry Hill. I'm sure he has some.
You
stats.
Like the Michael Bolton?
No. I don't hate it.
That's
fine.
The thing. I don't hate
it's a fine version. It's just the Percy Sledge one
Percy
is better.
Percy Sledge is way better. But the song is so great that Michael Bolton
that's
can't
my
ruin
point.
It.
Is anyone can get any version of it by a real singer is usually pretty damn good. Yeah. All right. Hey, Chucky, how you doing, pal?
Hey, what's up, gang?
What's up,
Chuck? The general consensus that John's the best speller?
Yes. If I had to bet my life on one of us spelling on this show, I would bet on John.
You've never seen me spell.
That's a fair point, but John's got...
John just shows off his large vocabulary.
But it's also years and knowledge, I'm saying...
Mom was an English teacher.
His mom was an English teacher.
So right, maybe so that
look,
helps.
I'm a great speller, too, but
that's
I just wasn't...
Genes.
Rhea looks like she thinks she's a better speller than John. Okay,
spelling me.
Chuck, I want to thank you. You're doing this. A morning show spelling bee will happen. We will make this
happen.
I'm
spelling me.
Because we all think we're good. I'm guessing Joe doesn't think he's good.
I was just going to say, Joe's going to come in last
the whole
place.
Thing, and we'll just let Joe moderate it, and we'll go all against each other.
This will be hysterical.
Love this.
No Triskaidekaphobia.
Or maybe there is. That's the point. We'll see how hard it goes.
I wouldn't even try to spell that word.
I would try. I don't think I'd get it
I would
right.
try. I would get it wrong.
All right. Go ahead, Chucky.
right. Well, James, I have a very fair word. There's no trick in it for John. And if anybody thinks he's wrong, when he's wrong, just say wrong.
Like
here
it.
We go,
go ahead.
John. You ready, buddy? This is a fair word and hint. There's no trick. All right? Facetious.
F-A-C-E-T-I-O-U-S.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, nobody gets that right. Nobody gets that right. Congratulations, man. But I was betting on you, though, buddy. I had my money on you anyway.
Thank you.
All right. Chris from the Midday Show. If you're going to come in the morning show and jump on Harper for his first error of the year, please give me a break, buddy. Come on. Plus five fielder last year, top three at first base. Done a remarkable job defensively at first base. You're not going to have a perfect season.
Chuck, and I agree. I think it's more, and this is what I said, because I agree. I said I'd give him a pass on the defensive play.
Yeah,
it's just more that the defensive play happening now in the midst of the struggles, the mopiness, feels more like a symbol of him not being locked in the way he should.
Sure.
More so, you know what I mean? But I agree with you. I'm giving him a pass on the defense.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so, James, if I were to ask you, because they're saying Harper's head's down, this guy tries more than anybody. His OPS right now is 784. He's not used to a sub-8, sub-9 OPS. Where would you place Harper by year end? He's 784 today. Give me Harper's OPS in September.
Like at the end of the season, you're saying not just for September? Yeah. I expect him to decline a little bit, but I still think he'll be good. I'll give you like 886.
Well, that's great then. So he rises all boats. If he's that, we should be fine offensively. But, you know, we go as he and Schwarber going. If he's going to be below 8, we got troubles. You know what bothers me a lot?
Yeah, and the other thing, Chuck, I don't know that he raises all boats when the team's slugging percentage could be, you know, in the threes or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not – like, my biggest issue watching this team last night from an offensive perspective is it is really hard for this team to score a run. Like, everyone wanted small ball baseball. Guess what? You're getting
it.
Like you have to hit home runs. You have to hit home runs to win in today's baseball game.
So, Chuck,
my bigger concern is not about the – I think Harper's going to have a 400 on base percentage by the end of the year or 390 or whatever. Like, I need the slugging percentages team-wide to go up in a big way.
Got to go way up. Now, here's what can bother you a lot. If other teams have better athletes in certain positions, that's a curse up, yada, yada. This is what can bother you. Why should the Dodgers use analytics better? I'm going to give you the example. When a caller at 720, I think his name was Ed, brought up DRS. And I like to hear callers doing that because that matters so much on defense. Why should the Dodgers, for three straight years, have a big-time plus infield shift DRS? That's their analytics package working for them in their shift. That's actually a line item. It's not a player's name. It says infield shift, plus 9. We're 0. Last year, plus 28. We were 11. Year before that, plus 24. We were minus 2. Whoa. The Dodgers are acting smarter every year in our analytic use? That bothers me. That really bothers me.
Well, they're better. They're a better analytics team. Yeah, I mean, they got Andrew Friedman running it. This guy was the guy who built the Rays. Like, they have been far ahead of the Phillies analytics-wise for years.
Far ahead. I got a trivia question on the way out, and I'm betting on you as I was betting on John. I'm betting on you, James.
Okay.
Here we go. And I got to go a little bit slow so I don't confuse because I know I do that a lot. Okay, name the player because we know a 300 batting average is great. So that's a 3. We know 400 on base is great. That's a 4. 500 slug is great. That's a 5. And 900 OPS is terrific. That's a 9. Name the only player in Phillies history that has a 3, 4, 5, 9. That's for batting average.
Career. You're saying career as a Philly.
Yep. Strictly Philly.
So I know the answer, so I will give everyone else a chance at it.
All right, that's great.
Okay, wait, can I hear it again? Can I hear it?
I got it, Chuck. I got it. So it's basically the only player in their career with the Phillies who has a 300 or better average, a 400 or better on base percentage, and a 500 or better slugging percentage for their careers.
Schmidt?
It is not Mike Schmidt.
Oh. Nope. Keep going. Another guess, please.
I'll just say it. I don't think it's Bobby Abreu.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I know you wouldn't, and I know a lot of people wouldn't. Chuck, I know you pitch for Bobby.
Stop.
And
I won't stop.
I know.
I won't stop.
He was a much better player than people give him credit for.
But he did not like one thing.
The wall. Yeah, the wall.
but he had a gold glove, and he leads the team.
That gold glove would have caught more balls packed up against what, the wall when yeah, than Bobby Abreu.
When Rafael Palmeiro won a gold glove playing 18 yeah, games at first base, I was out.
I'm with you on that.
All right,
listen,
Chuck, you got an answer for us?
Where did I write it down? Oh, good Lord, my notes. I can't read my big script. What's to say here? Rain Man. Is that said yet?
Chuck coming through with the big answer. Chuck, great call, buddy. We appreciate it. Rain Man is a potential winning answer, too.